This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I'm delighted to be with you today. I certainly am. We love spending this time with you, and I love hearing from you. I want to give you a couple of numbers that you can use to join us live here on Women of Grace Live today, where we do love having that holy conversation. If you're in North America, here is a number for you to use that is toll-free. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Simply pick up the phone, give us a call. Eager to hear from you today. Again, 833-288-EWTN, toll free for you right here in North America. In addition to that, we're available to you as well out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can see us. I'm waving to you. If you happen to be out there today, you can wave back, although I won't see you. But one way that I can know that you're there is by sending us a question via the chat feature. So use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and we'll get to you right away. We have Ryan Penny on the phone today. Jeff Burson is our producer and also our social media manager. These two guys and everybody else there at EWTN make this thing happen, and so do all of the good people at your affiliates as well. We are in a rough time. We are definitely in a rough time. There's no question about that. In rough times and times of uncertainty, you know, we tend to close up our wallets and our purses, but I want to say none of this can happen without your participation in the mission. And one way that you can participate in the mission is by remembering your affiliate at this time, remembering EWTN at this time, remembering your program providers at this time. So just a little word to you. We all need to work together for the good at this great moment in the history of our country. I've got lots to share with you. I'm going to get to it right away here. I do want to remind you, we at Women of Grace are doing everything that we possibly can to provide you with great resources available to you free of charge. We have opened up our archives of Women of Grace exclusive. That is a subscribership program. We're always encouraging you to subscribe to that. It's the best deal on the planet. But we are in the midst of, we've got about 45 days left of this opportunity for you to go out there and to peruse what's available to you in those archives, to make use of them this during this time, to be edified by the love of God that comes to you via the messages that are given through our television programs, our podcasts of our radio programs that are there, as well as all of the retreat and conference talks and presentations and excellent webinars that are available for you there. So we invite you to make use of that opportunity. I invite you always to check our Facebook page to see what's going on at Women of Grace. Our events calendar there at our homepage, very good for you. It's womenofgrace.com. Now, when you get out to womenofgrace.com, I want to let you know that we are going to be starting a three-part webinar series called Beyond Mindfulness, From Peace of Mind to Peace of Soul. Very important for us to understand the differences between true Christian meditation, the meditation that the saints give us, and this business of mindfulness that has taken over the country by storm. We do have a type of, if you want to call it mindfulness, it's a word that I don't care for. But we do have a type of meditation that we can talk about that is very, very effective in leading us closer to God within the Christian tradition. We're going to be talking about that. This is a three-part webinar series. We've got excellent guests lined up for this. Susan Brinkman is going to be there, as you well know. She does our Wacky Wednesdays. I am going to be there. Allison Ricciardi is going to be there, a mental health counselor. And Dr. Suzanne Bars is going to be with us as well, talking about depression, other ways in which we can find the peace of soul and the peace of mind that we need, that is a way that is in concert with the teachings of our church. It's going to be a marvelous webinar. You'll have an opportunity to participate and to ask questions of our guests, we want you to get out to womenofgrace.com. It's in the slideshow there. Click on it. It'll take you to a landing page, tell you all about it, and you can register right online. When is this coming up? Tuesdays at 8 p.m. On April the 14th. It's going to be during that time period. So we invite you to get out there, read all about it. It is going to start on Tuesday, April 14th, and on Tuesday, April 28th. So it's three parts. So it's going to be April 14, 21, and 28. So we invite you to get out there and find out about it. I promise you, it's going to be something that's going to be absolutely wonderful for you to participate in and for you to grow in your faith about. That is a very, very pressing event, I think, and a timely one, because so many people are trying to find comfort and solace in this time of need and often will resort to things that are very far away from the revealed teachings of sacred scripture and of the church. 833-288-EWTN, that's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here today. I want to share a little part of my prayer time with you, and I prayed my rosary this morning, bright and early, and then I followed that up with morning prayer and the readings from the Office of Readings today. And I was really struck by the second reading in the Office of Readings today. Now, if you don't have the Liturgy of the Hours, the Liturgy of the Hours is available to you out there in app land. You can get an app for it. I use Universalis, which I find to be very, very agreeable and works very well for me, but there are others that are available as well. In addition to that, you can go to various websites that carry the Office of Readings. I do believe that the usccb.org, which is the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops website, I do believe that they also carry the Liturgy of the Hours there. But the second reading is given to us by St. Basil, and it's on the Holy Spirit, and all of it was just excellent, just absolutely excellent. But what really struck me and where I needed to pause and pray, and I knew the Holy Spirit was prompting me to do so, was when I read this. And so let me just read this paragraph to you, and then I'll highlight the sentence or two that really spoke to my heart. We imitate Christ's death by being buried with him in baptism. If we ask what this kind of burial means and what benefit we may hope to derive from it, it means, first of all, making a complete break with our former way of life. And our Lord himself said that this cannot be done unless a man is born again. In other words, we have to begin a new life, and we cannot do so until our previous life has been brought to an end. This is the grace of baptism, and this is what St. Basil is talking about. And it's also the efficacy of the Holy Spirit. And I thought that that was wonderful. So here we are. We are in Holy Week, and we're being called to a deep conversion, to a cooperation with the graces that we received at baptism, and that were reinforced, strengthened in us through the sacrament of confirmation, that we're nourished in by way of the sacrament of Eucharist, though right now we can only make spiritual communion in most cases, and also given to us to refresh us, renew us, set us back on the good path again through the sacrament of reconciliation. Now, here comes the sentence that really struck me. When runners reach the turning point on a race course, they have to pause briefly before they can go back in the opposite direction. So also, when we wish to reverse the direction of our lives, there must be a pause or a death to mark the end of one life and the beginning of another. Now, that spoke deeply to me, and I'm going to share with you about that when we come back, and also go to the phone lines, which are lighting up, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986, inviting you to join us right here live on Women of Grace Live. We're going to be right back, inviting you to stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I'm happy to be with you today. Happy that the phone lines are lighting up. We want them to light up with your call as well. Let me give you the number that you can use. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can also get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there, and we will get your question or comment up on the board. support. In addition to all of that, you can text EWTN to 55000. Now, that number is toll-free for you here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. If you're outside of North America, you can call us too. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. I want to get to the phone line, so I'm going to make haste to share with you this little morsel of excellent, I think, insight that the Lord gave me during my time of prayer today. And this was based on the beautiful reading that we have here from St. Basil on the Holy Spirit. And I was reading it to you prior to the break. And he's talking here about being buried with Christ in baptism. And that at the time that we're baptized, we're leaving one way of life and coming into a new way. But this need for conversion is an ongoing reality in our lives. It doesn't happen just once. It happens over and over again. And he says this, in other words, we have to begin a new life, and we cannot do so until our previous life has been brought to an end. And then he says this, when runners reach the turning point on a race course, they have to pause briefly before they can go back in the opposite direction. So also, when we wish to reverse the direction of our lives, there must be a pause or a death to mark the end of one life and the beginning of another. And as I sat there praying about that paragraph and praying about those last two sentences that I just read, it dawned on me that in a sense, this coronavirus, this COVID-19, is giving us an opportunity. You know, we as a culture were rushing headlong in one direction, moving so quickly that we weren't looking necessarily to the right or the left. And in many cases, we're not evaluating things. I would say in most cases, as a culture, we're not evaluating things against the standard that is God's will. And I must say that individually, each of us falls into that same category, because none of us have attained the glory of God. St. Paul tells us all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so oftentimes we find ourselves running in one direction so rapidly, not paying heed to what we're seeing on either side, but with blinders on, just headed towards whatever we determine to be the goal for ourselves, whether it be a godly goal or not. We're moving forward so quickly, and we're not evaluating according to the standard of God. But this COVID-19 has stopped us in our tracks, hasn't it? It stopped us. And it forces us to pause. And this time of pausing is meant to be a time of consideration, reconsideration. It's meant to be a little death. It's meant to be a time when we allow ourselves to die to those passions that have ruled our lives as a culture and as individuals. To die to those things that have been the impetus for our activity and our movement. And to once again look at the face of God and say, I want to go in a new direction. And it gives us an opportunity now to do an about face, to have a metanoia, which is what that means, a turning away from and a turning toward. A turning away from and a turning toward. Turning away from the things that would lead us outside of the will of God and turning toward all of that that would lead us closer to Him. And I have a little acronym that I'd be happy to share with you later on if we need to get to it. Otherwise, I'll save it for another day. But we're looking forward to hearing from you. 833-288-EWTN, toll free for you right here in North America. 833-288-3986. Inviting you to pick up the phone and give us a call. Also available to you out there in social media land, go to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We want to hear from you there. We have Colleen with us. She is in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening to us via Holy Family Radio. Good morning, Colleen.
Oh, good morning, Janet. Thank you very much, and God bless you for your ministry. I've learned so much about not doing yoga and not doing different things, and it's like, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome very much, Colleen.
You're welcome. My question is, I would like to do a novena for our Holy Mother Mary of God, mm-hmm. For the coronavirus. And how would I go about doing it?
Well, Colleen, that's a beautiful question and a beautiful sentiment of heart. And I think that at a time like this, turning to prayer is what we need to do. Obviously, yeah. Observing all of the safety precautions that are out there, et cetera, remaining socially distant from others, washing our hands frequently, not touching our mouth, and trying to remember to use tissue to cough into. I have a little cough, not a corona cough. I'm just saying, I know that to be a fact. So a reminder to Johnette here. But all of that being said, I think that this battle is going to be won through all of those precautions, but not devoid of prayer. So we must pray. And always a novena is a beautiful, beautiful way to pray. And novenas to our Blessed Lady are always efficacious because our Holy Mother wants to make provision for her children. And she does so at the will of the Father through the merits of the cross of her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and by way of her spouse, the Holy Spirit. So I can give you some suggestions on some beautiful novenas that you can do to her. There's a novena to Our Lady of Good Remedy. We talked about Our Blessed Mother last week under several titles of hers that I thought were specifically meaningful for this moment. That was one of them, Our Lady of Good Remedy. You can go online and find a novena to her under that title. Also, Our Lady of Prompt Succor, you can find a novena to her under that title. And also to Mary, Help of Christians, a good one for us there. So there's three of them that I can offer you. One of my favorites is to Our Lady under this title, Our Lady Undoer of Knots, K-N-O-T-S. And you can find this novena online. I like it especially because it incorporates the rosary into it. And I love the rosary. Padre Pio calls the rosary his weapon, or called it his weapon. And we would do well to consider it as such too. And this one incorporates the rosary into it, and it's a beautiful, beautiful novena to Our Blessed Mother. Another way that we can make up our own novenas. You know, we can go with these ones that are more formulaic, that have been used for, in some cases centuries, but we can also make up our own novena to Our Blessed Lady. There's nothing that precludes that. And I would recommend that if you wanted to pray a novena of rosaries and you didn't want to do Our Lady Undoer of Knots, that you would pick up a Servite rosary. And a Servite rosary consists of seven decades of seven Hail Marys each. And I mean, you know, if need be, you can use your own rosary and just pray seven of the Hail Marys per decade, and then add two more decades on. And each of those decades is in honor of one of the dolors in Our Lady's heart. You know, Our Lady of Sorrows is pictured with seven swords in her heart, or seven dolors. And they represent her seven sufferings. Particularly beautiful to begin something like that on this first Friday, or on this coming Good Friday, although we know we're going to be into the Easter season, there is something very beautiful about praying a novena of those dolors of Our Lady. And my guess is that there is a novena to Our Lady of Sorrows out there as well, if you wanted to begin that. So I so appreciate your sentiment of heart, Colleen, in wanting to do such a lovely thing.
Janet, I just have one comment, and then I'll hang up.
Okay.
Somebody in my household stole my tablet, so I don't have one.
Okay.
And thank you for all the other suggestions. That really helps.
You're
I'm
welcome.
In a position where I can't afford to purchase one, so.
Yes.
So those were good ideas. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Well, you're welcome, dear, and I'm so sorry that that's happened to you, and I do hope that it's recovered. But any of these, and of course, just nine rosaries, you know, for a specific intention, 9 days in a row, a beautiful way to pray. Okay?
Thank you very much. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. What a beautiful sentiment of heart. And I know that so many of you are praying. I would love to know what prayers particularly you are praying at this time. This is an opportunity for us to consider some devotional practices that perhaps we've not engaged in the past. It's an opportunity for us to dig deeply into the tremendous tradition that we have for prayer in our Catholic faith. And I do want to encourage you to do that. And I want to encourage you to give us a call here, 833-288 EWTN, toll free for you right here in North America, 833-288-3986. 6. Now, ever since this COVID-19 became a pandemic, we've been talking here on the air about the fact that, you know, God wants to work good out of all things. And when we hear that word all given to us in Romans 8:28, that means that there is no exception to it. So the question is not, does God want to work a good out of COVID-19? The answer to that question is certain. By sacred scripture, yes, he does. The question is, what is the good? So I came up with a little way in which perhaps we could do that using the actual name of this virus as the means to acquiring this. So it's COVID, C-O-V-I-D. And I came up with this little acronym, Charity, Obedience, and Veracity. Charity, Obedience, Veracity. Indestructible defenses, 19 ways to beat COVID-19. And I'll just run through this very quickly as Ryan is getting some of these calls up. So it's charity, obedience, veracity. What is veracity? Veracity means truth. Charity, obedience, veracity, indestructible defenses, C-O-V-I-D, 19 ways to beat COVID-19. Charity. What virtues do we practice in light of charity? Compassion, care, comfort, calm, being careful, confidence, consideration, or a courtesy, cooperation, courage, a can-do attitude. What about the O? Openness, receptivity, openness, objectivity, obliging the protocols, optimism, order, ownership. The V, veracity, valor, valiant, viable, victory, vigor. So valor, valiant, same word, viable, victory, vigor. So there are 19 ways to beat COVID-19 with charity, obedience, and veracity, indestructible defenses. I hope that helps you today. I do know that God wants to work a good out, and he wants to work a good out in you. We talked about that beautiful couple of sentences given to us by St. Basil in his book on the Holy Spirit. Beautiful ways for us to make an about turn. Maybe one of those virtues that I listed there is one that you really need to work on in their general heading, charity, obedience, veracity, or in one of the 19 other virtues that I gave in light of them, something that we can think about and pray about. Let's go to Mary. She is in Peru, Illinois. EWTN.com is the way she's with us. She is a first-time caller, and there's our first-time caller bell for her. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
I'm great, Janet. Wonderful to speak with you.
Well, thank you. It's lovely to have you on the air, and thanks for your first-time call.
Oh, yeah, mine has to do with trying to battle through alcohol issues,
yes.
Just trying to, you know, with family. And even myself, I pretty much grew up in the 70s. I was born on the Assumption of Mary in 1958. So, you know, a couple days ago, what really disturbed me was I'm looking at the full moon last night, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, I think you may have had an aha moment here, or an Oprah moment, or a Holy Spirit moment. But I had this intense craving this past Sunday, Palm Sunday, for a beer, something mm-hmm. I haven't had in a very long time, because mm-hmm. I had quit for practical health reasons, since I'm going to be 62 in the summer.
Uh-huh.
And it really stopped me in my tracks thinking about it last night. So that is my main concern, is alcohol within issues that pop up in my own life and within my family. And
yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to ask you to discuss this. What if somebody is actually listening from my family? They will probably pound me into the floor.
Well, Mary, I think it takes a great deal of courage to make a phone call like this and to talk about an issue that seems to be prevalent within your family. And the fact of the matter is, I think that you're speaking to a whole lot of people who have the same issue going on. So in a certain way, you're a spokesperson for very many who would like to ask that same question, maybe don't have the courage to call in, or, you know, haven't thought about calling in. And so you give us a beautiful, beautiful moment here. And I'm going to ask you now, Now, would you have? Do you consider yourself a recovering alcoholic?
Yes, I'm going to say yes.
All right, very good. And thank you for that admission. Just last week, we had a beautiful program on the air, and you can go out to EWTN's app, and you will find, and if you haven't downloaded it, I really suggest that you do that. Download EWTN's app. It's free for you. Just go to your app store and do so. And when you get it, you'll find in there audio on demand. It's going to list several things for you. Go to audio on demand and then go to Women of Grace and look at the programs from last week. And we interviewed Scott Wieman, and he is a recovering alcoholic who has started a beautiful program called Catholic in Recovery. And he has a book. But it's a wonderful program that talks about the temptation during a crisis to fall victim to these addictions once again. In your case, it might be alcohol. In his case, it was alcohol and drugs. And many people suffering from these kinds of maladies, afflictions of the spirit, really. And he gives good help and good insight on this. And it's a terrible temptation in times like this to resort to that which we think is going to bring us an immediate, though temporary, kind of sense of well-being. But for the purposes of the evil one are to bind us back up again in those chains. And so my suggestion to you would be to listen to that program. My suggestion will also be to reach out. I mean, if the craving gets very strong, the temptation gets very strong, reach out. Reach out to your local Alcoholics Anonymous group. Call your parish and see if they can put you in touch with someone or with the group within your own parish. I don't know what these groups are doing. My guess is that they're probably meeting online, but don't let pride stop you from reaching out if you feel that craving coming on very strongly. With issues in the family, you know, you need to pray for these individuals. You may need to be frank with them and say, this is my situation and this is what I'm doing to help myself at this time. And if you want to stay on the line, we'll come back to you. And I see that we've got other callers here. We want to invite you to call us 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're coming right back to you after the break. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Stay with us.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Happy to be with you today. So much to share with you and so much that you want to share with us. Give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're going to go back to Mary, but before we do, I had asked for what kind of prayers you might be praying at this time. Facebook people and YouTube people are responding to that, so let me just give us a few of the beautiful ways in which people are making good use of this time. Marianne says, I am praying Our Lady Undoer of Knots during this time. And then Bernie says, he is praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet and the Holy Rosary and the Stations of the Cross daily. And he's also making use of adoration online, and I really recommend that. That's a beautiful thing to be doing, Bernie. And we have Carol there, and she's saying that she's praying the Serenity Prayer, which brings us right back to Mary. And of course, that Serenity Prayer is a prayer, Mary, that oftentimes people that are in recovery will pray when they're under a severe temptation or have a great craving. This is very practical, but one last little thing starts pressing down on you. Get up and do something. Get up and do something. Fix a cup of coffee, you know, get the vacuum out, you know, get the dust mop out, whatever you need to do, get engaged in an activity. And I like to praise the Lord.
Great ideas.
You think so? I'm glad.
Oh, yeah. I retired at the very end of January, so this was right before the coronavirus came about in our area.
Yes.
So it's like I'm trying to do little things, and boy, the prayer has been so intensified, which has been a beautiful reasoning here for me.
Well,
and
I'm so glad.
I just know that another prayer I could add to the prayers is called the Surrender Prayer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's another one.
That's another good.
It is. And I just want to say this, just finally, praise the Lord. You know, the evil one cannot stand praise, and he's trying to get to you. He's always going to go for what is our predominant temptation or our predominant fault. And that's a word for all of us. So he's going to lay heavy on those areas right now because he knows that we're vulnerable and we're weak, and he wants to take us out. But
weak and vulnerable are two biggies, yes. Yeah.
That's right.
What I couldn't get over the fact was how intense the craving was when that hadn't been around for quite a while.
Yeah, see, it's that's coming from the pit of hell. It's coming from the pit of hell.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And the evil one cannot stand up under the praise of the Lord. So when that comes on, you just start, praise you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord. I thank you for all of these years of sobriety. Lord God, I thank you in this moment that you're giving me the courage to stand here and praise you in the face of temptation. Father God, I just receive every spiritual blessing in the heaven, and I praise you and I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that you are my stronghold. I thank you, Lord God, that you are my surety. I thank you, Lord God, that even as I'm praising you and thanking you, that this temptation is diminishing, and I continue to praise you until it's thoroughly gone, and I just love you and bless you and just go on and on, Mary, and the evil one will flee, okay?
Okay, I love it. Thank you so, so much.
You're welcome, Mary. God bless you, darling.
Oh, God bless you too, Jeanette. Thank you so much again.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Oh, bye.
What a good woman. And this is the truth for no matter what way he's trying to attack us. You know, all of these things that we've talked about here are very good remedies. And as I say, I love praising. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. Carrie is here from Hampstead, New Hampshire. Alexa is the way she's listening to us. And she, too, is a first-time caller. There's a little bell. Good morning, Carrie.
Hey, hello, everybody out there. God bless everybody. And I've been listening to the Divine Mercy live streaming. What I'm being bothered with right now is that I'm feeling guilty about it, is that when I'm listening to the streaming, some of the comments there seem to me like over the top, like overly Catholic. And I get so annoyed with the people that are posting these things. And I feel like it's like defeating what my purpose is. Of listening to church on live streaming, because I get annoyed. So I'm like, how do I pray against this? How do I fix this?
Well, can you share with me like some of the comments that you think are overly Catholic?
Just something, you know. Sometimes it's like, oh, and let's pray for the priest, and let's pray for just overly. Let's pray for all the priests in the when the prayerful comes on, it's like extra overly over the top kind of annoying things that it just seems to me like over the top. Maybe it's just me, but that's how I feel, and I feel like I shouldn't be getting annoyed with this. I should just let it go. And my husband will say, why do you care about this? You know?
Yeah, I understand. Well, you know, let me just say this. This obviously the priests need our prayer. Everybody needs our prayer right now. There's no question about that.
Right,
and,
yes.
And it's a hard time. And there is a place for petition. In our time of prayer, but there's also a place for contemplation. There's a place for just being with the Lord, adoration, which is what I think that you're looking for here, as opposed to petitionary prayer. You want to just spend time with the Lord as you're praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet or whatever prayer it is that you're streaming at the moment.
It's actually the Mass, the church, the Mass.
Oh, okay. So
yeah,
is it during?
I do them all. I'm still. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, but if I understand correctly, you're not talking about the intercessions that are made at Mass. You're talking about comments that are coming up during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, right?
Yeah, those comments. Yeah.
Yeah.
They seem like a little bit like people are trying to impress the pastor or something, you know,
yeah.
And he's not going to be impressed by it. I know that because he's a good pastor. But,
right. Well, let me say this.
To me, it looks like... Try hard type of thing, you know?
Yeah, right. And let me say this. We do not chat in church, right? So when we go to Mass on Sunday, the idea is that we're not having a conversation with our spouse or the people sitting next to us. That's not the purpose in going to Mass. I would say that if we are viewing the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass because we cannot attend the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass right now, our attitude, our demeanor, our posture, everything about us should show that we are in union with the Mass that is being sacrificed at that moment. Therefore, we don't chat. I don't think that there's room for a chat feature, or there should be a chat feature that is live at the time of the Mass. You can turn that off on your computer if you want to, or you
can
go full
screen.
Yeah, or you can go full screen. But you know, this is something that's kind of been impressed upon me because, you know, I've been consuming the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, if you will, participating in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass online for about 3 weeks now. And it occurred to me that I can't just sit on the couch and slouch around while I'm, and I can't come, walking in and out of the room or sitting there and having a cup of coffee. This is not something that I'm viewing. This is an effort on my part to be united in prayer, in the prayer of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, in union with the Mass that's being celebrated, to be mystically present to that Mass, since I cannot be physically present to that Mass. Therefore, my demeanor, my attitude, my posture, the way in which I conduct myself during that period of time should be the same as if I were at Mass. And so chatting, a chat features, all that stuff, not appropriate. Commenting, you know, to anybody else in the room, not appropriate at that time. That's my personal opinion. So I can understand how that would be distracting at the very minimum.
Yeah, I just, you know, and a lot of the people I know, so that's the other thing, too. So, it's, you know, I know because it's a close community, so
right.
that doesn't help much, you know.
Right. Well, you can turn it off or go full screen.
I think that's what I'm going to do. I think that's a good idea. You know, I think it's nice that they put, you know, say amen or, you know, prayers be with you, like answering the Mass. I think that's nice. It's just other... you know, over-the-top kind of stuff that looks like it's superficial that I don't like.
Well, there you go.
You know,
well,
so.
I get it.
Okay. Well, thanks. Thank you. You get what I'm saying.
I do.
I don't know
if
my husband got, but you get it.
Well, you thank you, Carrie. God bless you. Bye-bye now. this is the thing. It's the same, you know, if we... God is not bound by time and space. And when we pray, we are outside of time and space. You know, we are caught up in the eternal moment. And we can help ourselves to appreciate that reality if, in fact, we are putting all of our heart and mind and spirit, as well as the physical use of our bodies, right, to promote that which we say that we want to do and that we're doing. You know, it baffles my mind sometimes when we make this disconnect. So, you know, let's just look at these things a little bit. What is the Lord trying to show us? How is he trying to use this opportunity to take us to a deeper level of prayer, maybe even, right? Or to a new appreciation of the sacrifice of the Mass than we've had before? Can he do that? Of course he can. We just need to ask him and to be open and receptive to it. That's all that we really need to do. Callers continue to come in, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us. But let's pop over here to YouTube for a moment. And Patricia says, my husband felt to and encouraged our family to pray the rosary for 24 hours every 3 hours for all priests and families during this time. What a beautiful thing, Patricia. I mean, that is truly a sacrifice. Some people would be able to do that easily. Others would have great difficulty doing it. And I suppose that the amount of sacrifice is commensurate to the amount of sacrifice. So what a beautiful thought to do. And I don't know, is he doing this every day, or is this one day that he's doing this, or suggesting that the whole family do this? The prayer of the rosary is absolutely essential at this time. The prayer of the rosary is one of the greatest prayers that we can pray. It is a very efficacious prayer. It's Christocentric. I encourage it always. This is very beautiful. It's a type of a novena in and of itself. Let's go to Ruby in Austin, Texas this morning. Facebook, first time caller. And here you go, Ruby, for you. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Janet. Good. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're quite welcome. So what is your question or comment?
Thank you. I just wanted to ask, well, just to give a little context, my parents divorced after 25 years of marriage 5 years ago due to my dad's infidelity, and he left our family and our family unit. And a couple of years ago, my dad requested an annulment. And after 2 years of the tribunal deliberation, they accepted it last September. So since last September, my faith in the church has definitely been faltered and has been going in and out of a typical, I guess, faith. Anyway, so it's left my mom devastated, and my faith in the church has just been, like I said, in and out. And what I wanted to ask you is, what would you suggest, or what's your, how should I go about reinvigorating my faith during this Holy Week and take advantage of it?
Ah, Ruby, what a beautiful question to ask, and I'm so sorry that this has happened in your family. Let me just give a word here on applying for a decree of nullity. There has to be circumstances that existed at the time that the marriage was being consummated. So the church does not look at anything that's happened after marriage to offer a decree of nullity. Only if there were impediments at the time that the man and the woman stood before the altar of God and made their vows to each other. Now, you say your dad, you say that this situation was based on your dad's infidelity. And the question would be, and you don't need to answer this, but the question would be, did infidelity mark the life of the marriage? Was it a one-time situation, a one-and-done kind of a situation, or was it something that was constant and ongoing? Was it something that was always there, whether or not your mother knew about it? And did he have the capacity to be faithful from the beginning? The fact that they were able to manage 25 years may not necessarily speak to the fact that a decree of nullity should not have been granted. Because if there was a flaw at the beginning, then that flaw, continued throughout the marriage, then that would be a reason why a tribunal would say that marriage had an impediment at the beginning. So I just wanted to say that. Now, that may or may not be the case. I don't know. And I certainly don't want you to get into the weeds on that here on the air. But so, no. pardon me?
No, I definitely don't want to. I don't even know on my end as a child of a family. So.
Sure. So here's the thing. The hardest thing that we have to do sometimes is to accept these kinds of decisions and to say, okay, here's the deal. I may or may not agree with this. I may not know all of the circumstances. But what I do know is this. God desires union with me. He loves me. He loves me unto death. And Holy Week is a demonstration of the love that he has for me, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. God created you, Ruby, in his image and in his likeness, and he used the coming together of your mother and your father to effect the desire of his heart, which was the conception of you and the birth of you and the beautiful woman that you have become. We don't want any impediment to stand in the way of that union. And so even though this is a very painful situation, and even though you might disagree with the outcome of your father's application for decree of nullity, we take that and we put that inside brackets and we say, but I am not going to let the evil one use this to deter me from my ultimate goal, which is union with our Lord. So what can you do to reinvigorate your faith? I think you can have an honest chit-chat with the Lord. In some cases, churches are opened right now, and people are permitted to go in and to pray, observing social distancing. Jesus may be exposed or he may be reposed. But I would go to a church if you have access. If not, then you can have a virtual image of our Lord as he actually is exposed in adoration chapels throughout EWTN's making that opportunity available, I know. You can do that. And I would have an honest chit chat. I would just say to him, I would just sit down. You can do this quietly, you know, so that it's out loud, but very, very quietly, almost, you know, in mumble or whisper tones. If you're sitting far away from people, they won't hear you. Or you can do it mentally. But just say, you know, Lord, I am really upset. This has really shaken my faith. And I don't want it to stand in the way of my union with you. And there's nothing that I want more than a reinvigoration of my faith at during this Holy Week. I really want it, Lord. But I am in such pain over this and such heartache over this. And I just want to expose that wound to you. You know it's there, but right now, through an act of the will, I want you to look at it. I want you to look at this big, big wound in my heart, Lord. And I want you to see it in all of its horror, in all of its terror, in all of its misery, in all of its affliction. I want you to see it, Lord. And I desire for you to come into that wound right now and begin this process of restoration in me. Begin this healing process, Lord. Because I'm not sure I can make it without this healing process going on. This is so painful. And so, in union with your own sacrifice on the cross, I surrender this wound to you and ask you to come and live in it and to make it better. And show me, Lord, show me what my next step is. And that's what I would do, Ruby. You're not going to crush him. He's going to be so delighted with you. And not try to hide it, you know, or just try to layer over it with all kinds of formula prayers. No, you got to get to the root of this, and you got to let him into the root of it. And so that's absolutely what I think. That's what you should do, I think.
Oh, thank you so much, Johnette. That was very beautiful and exactly what I needed to hear this Holy Week.
I'm glad, sweetheart.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm gonna put you into my rosary. You can be assured of that.
Oh, thank you. And if I can, I would like to request prayers as well for my mom. On Sunday, after our Palm Sunday live streaming mass, she asked me if I would be offended if she would go to start doing a non-Catholic service. And that has definitely wounded my heart for sure, right. Because
sure.
And yeah, I just request prayers for her too.
Well, let's do that right now. Well, Father God, Ruby and I come before you, and we come together with all of those who are listening today, and my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, just at this moment, let's just join around Ruby and her mom and her whole family situation. And Father, we offer this up to you, and we know how weak we are, Lord. And I know how vicious the evil one is. And when we suffer these kinds of wounds of the heart, when we go through these maladies, Lord, and the afflictions that they bring upon us, how easy it is, Lord, how easy it is for us to walk away, how easy it is for us to live in our anger at the outcomes of certain situations, how easy it is for us to live in the wound of infidelity, the wound of unfaithfulness, how easy it is for us to make friends with that emotion of betrayal, Lord, and to let these rule us as opposed to us ruling them. And so we lift Ruby's mom up to you in a certain way right now, Lord, in a very real way. We're asking you, Lord, to begin this process of healing in her, just as we pray it for Ruby, to begin this process of healing, this process of relying on you more and more, and leaning into the cross that's been offered as opposed to trying to run away from it. And this is what I'm sensing, Ruby. You know, I'm sensing that just as you have been somewhat shattered in your trust of the church as a result of this. Your mother is shattered as a result of it. And even attending this is a great suffering and sorrow. And the cross represents itself to her in that. But here's the thing. That's the key to her healing. And so, Father God, we just ask, you know, all good things come by way of the cross. So even this cross that you have offered to Ruby and to her mom at this time is replete with abundant graces and redemptive life. And so it is, Lord, that we would ask that you would bolster them, that you would lift them up, that you would encourage them, that you would give them fortitude and strength to be able to carry this cross with you, especially during Holy Week, that they might experience on Easter Sunday a resurrection from the pain and the suffering that they've experienced. And we offer this to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen. So be it. God bless you, Ruby. And God bless all of you on this beautiful day in the Lord. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Bye-bye now.